And good morning once again. If you're just joining us, welcome to She Speaks. This morning we have the honor of getting into the world and sharing the journey or hearing or listening to the journey of this amazing St. Lucian. It's a daughter of the soil and she's doing a lot, quite a lot out there. We're talking social entrepreneur, author, consultant, the owns a group of companies called Wakante. We're going to get the right thing in a minute. She co-owns a natural skin and hair company. She's also written 3 books to date. She's the author of 3 books to date, which were bestsellers on Amazon. So many things. She also owns and founded the Guru Projects and a lot more. And she don't look that old. She looked quite young to me. So let's go on over and greet and say good morning to our beautiful guest. Chedia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marion. How are you doing?
I am good. I am very well this morning. How are you? How is you in Africa, of course?
Actually, I'm in Brooklyn right now.
You're in Brooklyn right now. Okay, great. Yeah. Well, how's the weather like? What's it like over there? It's raining now. It started to rain here.
It's not raining. The sun is out, but it's still a bit cold.
Right.
I'm on my way home though, so I'll be home.
Wonderful. You are so intriguing. I am intrigued by you. So I want to know where all this started. How this started? You are from Labri here in St. Lucia.
Oh yes, I'm from the People's Republic.
That's right. Tell me about that. Tell me about yourself. Let's talk a little bit. I don't want to stay there long, because there's so many things I want to get into here. So just briefly give us a little insight as to what you know, being born in Labri and what happens. What happens?
Oh, okay. So I'm a daughter of the soil, not just in Lucian soil, but I'm definitely a Laborian through and through.
Right.
Both of my parents are from Labri, born and raised there. I often tell people that although my parents were primarily responsible for my upbringing, I was raised by a community of people, quite honest. It's really the community that makes you who you are, from going to Labri Girls Primary School to godparents to my dad's friends getting books, ensuring that we read all the time. My parents did a fantastic job, but I don't think I would have turned out as great as I turned out if we didn't have like community. My aunts, my grandparents, everybody was involved. So I am truly the product of community.
What were you like as a child? What kind of child were you? For you to grow up and have such big ambition, and not just having it, but pursuing it strong-headed, full force, and you there championing causes. What kind of child were you? Were you always a distinct child, or like something you know, you could have picked you out in a group of children?
Yes, I think so. People will say that I was pretty much involved in everything growing up. My parents really tried to expose us to everything. I grew up playing classical piano, part of the school choir, an Nancy's challenge. I mean, pretty much everything. I grew up active sports. I mean, I wasn't the best athlete, but I could have held my own in certain places.
Right.
So I grew up participating in pretty much everything. And I have a lot of cousins maternally. Like, my grandmother had 84 grandchildren. Just
boy.
And these, between my father's people who and my mother's people, just the pressure, they can talk a lot of trash and just, I had that type of environment. So I was pretty much poised to just do the best at anything that I am.
That you want to do. Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
Do you have brothers, sisters?
Yes, I am the eldest of 4.
Okay, what are your younger ones like now? They chatting course. They are ambitious as you are.
Yeah, actually, my younger sister is currently doing her master's in London. She's a Shivling scholar.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger brothers, there's a bit of a gap between us. They're chatting. The youngest one is still chatting his bath.
Mm-hmm.
The one before the last, I think he's coming into his own as a young entrepreneur. He's pretty ambitious in terms of just keeping on the grind. His work ethic is ridiculous. They're doing their own things. My sister is now moving into the same sphere as me, which is international development. She's studying global health policy.
Right.
So I think we're doing okay. We're making the parents proud.
Definitely. Now, and your country as well. Let me tell you what's going to happen. We had, you just said about, you know, talking about the whole integration and enterprise and commerce and stories and bringing this all together. You have a passion and a desire to sort of like bridge the gap between the Caribbean and Africa. So we are coming back. When we come back, we take a word from the sponsor. When we come back, I want us to go down there and everything that you've been doing along that line and how it's been progressing. We'll take a word from the sponsor. We're coming back shortly, guys.
If you're ready to own your own home, then it's time for us to meet. At Bank of Senusha, we believe in you. We believe that life is sweet. A mortgage that fits your life with amenities that can't be beat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Now that's where life is sweet. A wise retirement. EduStat 2. No other bank will give all that to you. Convenience banking. Bank anywhere. No other bank can compare. BOSL Home Sweet Home. An all-in-one package, nice and neat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Yes! Life is sweet. I know, I tell you.
Course Black Friday deals continue with BOGO. Buy one item and get the second one of equal or lesser value at up to 50% off. 50% off. Shop with Ready Finance and you pay nothing for 90 days. It's BOGO this week at Courts. Buy one, get one up to 50% off. Plus, get a chance to win amazing cash and prizes. Courts Black Friday deals continue. You can't afford to miss it. Conditions apply. See in store for details. Courts, bringing value home.
Problem skin should not be a problem. Milanopil's medical-grade cosmeceutical and acne-ceutical skincare effectively clears discolorations, melasma, and acne. Visit us to learn more.
Clear skin is possible with Milanopil.
Get it exclusively in St. Lucia at the Dermalogix Medical Laser and Facial Aesthetic Clinic, located in Rodney Bay at the Providence Medical Center on the same floor as Lusolac.
And we are back. Our guest today on She Speaks is Chedia Mathre. And she's, of course, into so many things. We're about to start. Well, you went to university. You went to school here. You even went to South Arthur here. So you left here around what time? Then you went to the University of the West Indies, St. Augustine, was it? Which one of them? Which island?
Yes, St. Augustine is in Trinidad.
In Trinidad, right. That's Trini.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And then you went on to University of Ghana.
Yes, so I'm currently pursuing my master's at the University of Ghana.
So, I don't know where to start with this because what drive the passion? Because what you're doing now, give us briefly a rundown of what it is that you hope to achieve. What are you trying to do? You're trying to create, you're trying to create enterprise. You're trying to create a bond, you know, bridge a gap through enterprise and through commerce and stories, because you're also an author, between the Caribbean and what we normally refer to as the motherland, Africa.
Yes.
But you know, many of us just sit down here and we're happy just saying, yeah, boy, Africa, we Africans. And, you know, it's a slang and it's a nice thing. It sounds nice. It rolls off the tongue nice. But not many of us has taken it to the levels that you're taking it at, which is trying to find ways and means in which to link our core roots and everything back to what we profess, which is the motherland. So what prompted, where is this desire and this ambition to head on to champion that kind of cause? Where did you start realizing you had an innate passion for it?
I would definitely say that came during my time at St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. Prior to attending St. Augustine, I really had Eurocentric ideals of success, of pretty much everything. I actually wanted to attend a British university, or an American university, but it just so happened that I went to St. Augustine and I got a fundamentally well-rounded Caribbean education.
Mm-hmm.
And as an international relations major, I was able to view the Caribbean, the position that the Caribbean was within the international system from a Caribbean perspective, and not necessarily the narratives that a European university or an American university would have weaved.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, especially when we started to study the third world and world systems theories and dependency theories, I was really on fire. I was pretty much, I was like, wow, if I'm doing anything, then I'd like to change how we are viewed within the international system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always championing the underdog from very young. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, okay, we're being viewed as underdogs. They're underestimating us. The narratives don't fit what I know mm-hmm. about people of our region. So that was where that whole desire stemmed from. But even looking back,
mm-hmm.
My dad had quite Pan-Africanist ideals. I grew up hearing him talk about Mandela, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X. And I grew up listening to a lot of reggae. Bob Marley, as a musician, Bob Marley has definitely influenced my style. Mm-hmm. I grew up listening to a lot of Lucky Dubé, all of these conscious people. So I think there was always that subconscious
mm-hmm,
thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think St. Augustine pretty much just caused it to blossom.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because, I'm saying to you that you know, it's one thing to study. You could go and you could study these things. You could study, you could become, study all what the book says. But to have that innate passion, to take it to that such level as to where you're heading with this or where you decided to go with this, it have to be a divine mission. This had to have been written upon you in some way, some form, or some fashion, because you're doing so much. All right, let's talk now about what it is you plan. That your company, Wakonte, is that?
Wakonte.
All right, good.
Yes.
Let's talk about the development of that business, the establishment of that. What is your dreams and aspiration? What do you hope to do? What do you want to do with this company?
So, basically, Wakonte is Creole for to give an account, by a court, if you want to speak Creole, from the French word Wakonte, meaning storyteller. So Wakonte, I'm basically in the business of content and in the business of telling stories.
Okay.
When I started this, I started this off as just a branding and marketing firm because I felt that the quality of branding and marketing that we're doing in the region did not necessarily give our companies a competitive edge on the international market.
Okay.
So I started this off like this. Then I started it off, two entrepreneur magazines, African Entrepreneur and Caribbean Entrepreneur, where I started to document the stories of African and Caribbean entrepreneurs, because remember, I was an international relations major.
Yeah, exactly.
And circumstances. When I graduated, I returned home to one of the lowest unemployment rates. Sorry, one of the highest unemployment rates, youth unemployment rates in the country. I think at that point in time, youth unemployment was 25%.
Mm-hmm.
I even think Dr. Kenny Anthony was saying, listen, if you can get a job wherever you are, then there's no need to come back, whether you took economic course or whatever.
Yeah.
because things were so difficult in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my attempt of, I guess, trying to find something to do because the Foreign Service was not hiring. There's only so much that you can do with an international relations degree. So as somebody who was new to entrepreneurship, I used to read a lot of Entrepreneur, Fast Company, Inc., all those foreign, and these magazines were great, but I just often felt that they were not tailored to my context.
Ah.
And so, because when they say you can start a t-shirt company with 100 US in the US, they do not take into account shipping costs, duties, customs that we would have to pay as Caribbean citizens. So I started to do a lot of research on Caribbean entrepreneurs who were thriving well within our context. And then I also did African entrepreneurs because I found that their context was so similar to ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started it off. And then it was not sustainable in terms of I couldn't get, because I mean, you're in radio, so you know that the business of content is
very
one of the most difficult things to monetize.
Yes.
Since everybody's giving everything for free now.
Free, yeah. And then the social media is there, so sometimes they feel they don't even need us, because they have social media.
But it's still, we're the ones creating the content for social media. But
the same way, isn't it?
They expect it for free. So the content business is one of the most difficult businesses. I don't encourage anybody to go into it. So I eventually evolved in 2020 to just making it one online magazine at wakati.com, mm-hmm. where we share Caribbean stories on health, love, life, almost like Essence magazine, mm-hmm. but for Caribbean and Africa. And so now I've actually moved to creating content for education. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to launch two platforms, CXC Notes and WASI Notes. WASI is the West African equivalent for CXC,
right?
Basically, right. Where we're providing syllabus-tailored content for CSEC, CAPE, and WASI level students. So I'm in the business of content and in the business of creating authentic African and Caribbean content. And the aim is to, when you look at the content on the platforms, mm-hmm. It's almost impossible for you not to see the inextricable link between Africa and Caribbean.
Right.
So I'm bridging the gap through commerce, bringing Africa to the Caribbean and the Caribbean to Africa. I introduced some people to cocoa sticks over there. But Ghana is the second largest importer of cocoa, in the world. Uh-huh. But they don't do any of the stuff that we do with cocoa. As a matter of fact, some of the farmers have never drunk cocoa. They've never eaten chocolate. introducing the Caribbean to
Africa.
Africa, and introducing Africa to the Caribbean. There are definitely lessons that we can take from each other.
Chair, just a minute. We depend, the Caribbean, we tend to gravitate towards the US and the UKs and these sort of markets as Caribbean people when we looking to create, like you said, industries and enterprise and trade and stuff like that. What do you think, do you believe in terms of looking to Africa? Is that what you're trying to establish, that Africa is a place to look in and we could start, you know, looking into Africa more like how we look into the U.S. and stuff like that? Is that what you're trying to...
How? Definitely. There is money on the continent.
Okay, right. So, but how far along? No, but you're there. You're doing it on both sides, right? So you're there.
Yeah.
I don't think much people before you, well, not to my knowledge, maybe have not been looking in that direction, but not very many people before, because look at it. We're still at a point where there's no real fine-tuned, defined link or dependence or partnering or thing with Africa and the Caribbean. We are still very much the UK, the US, the Canada, you know.
Yes.
How far away are we with this? Are we making progress? Do you see it? It's going to be a high task. You're taking on a high task.
It's a hard task, but I do feel like Caribbean governments are moving in that direction.
Okay, great.
Especially under the stewardship of Mia Motley.
Right.
They're beginning to view Africa as a continent where there are tenable opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the first Africa CARICOM summit, I think, in September.
Ooh.
September 7th, there was the first Africa CARICOM summit. It was virtual due to COVID.
Great.
But I think African governments, Caribbean governments, are beginning to make a move in that direction. Trinidad is quite entrenched in Ghana. Mm-hmm. Republic Bank is entrenched in Ghana. You can go to Ghana and see Republic Bank in several places. And I think Trinidad is the only Caribbean country
that
can apply for a visa on arrival to Ghana.
How receptive though is the Ghanaian or the African authorities in terms of opening up to the Caribbean? And
well, I mean,
when
it comes to matters of diplomacy and mm-hmm. governments are known to talk quite a bit, but I think under the leadership of under the leadership of Nana Akufo-Addo, they've had something called the Year of Return, mm-hmm. where they've encouraged people of African descent in the West to come back to their roots and see where they're from. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like this is a great marketing campaign, because I listened to Nana Akufo-Addo when he was in St. Vincent just before I went to Ghana in 2019. And his position was that they understand that people have their lives in the region. So it was almost like saying, okay, come and visit.
But don't stay.
We don't want you to stay.
Okay.
And he's quite clever with his wording. Mm-hmm. There are opportunities. In a sense, I also feel for Ghanaians, because if you're more affluent and you go to Ghana, mm-hmm. then you almost get to usurp the people who are there. The people who are there, the standard of living that they have, it does not allow them to capitalize on the opportunities as much as somebody who is foreign and who has the capital space, the fiscal space to do so. Mm-hmm. So these are things that I would assume that any government would have to balance and take into consideration when they're deciding to bring people back. And so I think he's trying to do what is best for his people. He's trying to ensure that while he's bringing people to capitalize on opportunities in Ghana, that Ghanaians mm-hmm. are not disenfranchised at the same time. Oh. And so I don't fault him in that regard.
Wonderful. But is it difficult, though, if you want to override the whole policy, if the government may not have been so receptive, if as an individual or individuals you would want to, there's avenue for growth or yes. establishment outside of the political realm or the governmental realm?
Yeah, there is. I think that as long as you do the research and you know what you're doing, mm-hmm. Then it's quite easy. It is quite easy as long as you know what you're doing and you get the research, it's quite easy to come settle in. I've pretty much made a home for myself in Ghana within the last 2 years.
Right.
And it wasn't a difficult endeavor at all. It's easy. There's business opportunities. There's opportunities in agriculture. Real estate is starting to just go off the chain.
Right.
If you want to capitalize on it, now is the time to do so. Mm. And like I said, I kind of feel bad because most Ghanaians, the average Ghanaian, cannot capitalize on these opportunities.
On their own opportunities.
So I kind of feel bad about that. So during my time there, in addition to trying to capitalize on opportunities, mm-hmm. part of my thing was also to try to create as many opportunities for young Ghanaians.
Right. Now, let's talk about, you said opportunities for becoming, you know, business. You could open up your business. You have also gone ahead and you have opened up your own business in skin and hair products. Talk to us about the funding of that as well and what prompted that again.
So I started Dinam Naturals with a Ghanaian co-founder. Mm-hmm. And I came in not really on the production side. I understood the market. I understood that the skincare beauty industry is like almost a $13 billion industry. And when it comes to skincare for people of color, we only own a small percentage of that. So she also understood the business. She was on the production end. I came in on the distribution and business development end. And we've been able to just really take it to the next level. One of the things that we were able to do that she did not consider is that we have pretty much the majority, the largest part of our market is in the Caribbean right now. And that's something that Africans have not considered. The same way I'm saying that the continent has money, mm-hmm. Africans have not considered that the Caribbean region, though small, we have immense purchasing power. And I mean, you can see it when you look and you see how much we shop online. The Caribbean has immense purchasing power. And we've been neglected as a market. Most people don't even consider us as a market. And she was shocked to see that within the space of 2 to 3 months, our largest market became the Caribbean region. And so, like you said earlier, that's one of the things that I'm trying to establish, mm-hmm. that Africa is a viable market, mm-hmm. and also the Caribbean is a viable market.
Right.
Dinam Naturals is doing well. We source shea butter from female smallholder farmers.
Okay.
In rural Ghana, mm-hmm. Predominantly from the north, the Mali. And all of the products are handmade, natural, no additives, no preservatives, none of that stuff. And so far, the feedback has been excellent.
I as you say that, Jade, what we've been seeing recently, because, you know, we go through a whole host of different, you know, evolving in this whole life journey as a people, as a Caribbean people at that, where we were always we're limiting ourselves in our minds, in our headspace. You know, so we had a desire. We had a desire when we hear about things for your skin or your hair, and we always thought that the things that was available to us naturally, we thought that would have been that mean that you're from the lower end, you know. So to prove mm-hmm. ourselves supreme and superior, we always look to the foreign, the international made brands and stuff. But lately, I must admit that we are seeing a shift. In terms of more and more, we are seeing more of the people, of our Caribbean people, are going back to that sort of an elements and really and truly going that route of getting the natural stuff to treat ourselves and stuff like that. Now, that being said, opportune time to go into the business, like you said. But with that mm-hmm. now means that the bulk of people are now going to be gravitating towards that. Now, that would leave the people who are making the other synthetic brand stuff before that we once desired and craved. They are now going to be at a disadvantage. Now, we're talking about the big wolves. You understand? We have Ghana, yes, but mm-hmm. we're talking the U.S. and the this and the that. Right. You think that we get to a point where we're going international now. That's your field right there. Right. You don't think we get to the point where these people are going to start, you know, trying to hinder these sort of progression?
I think they've done it in times past. I mean, the U.S. was responsible for, the World Health Organization was responsible for the collapse of the corporate industry. Mm-hmm. In the Caribbean, at one point in time, they said that coconut was so unhealthy.
Yes.
10 years down the line, coconut became a superfood.
Chet, let me tell you, I can't find a coconut at the grog in St. Lucia. I go in the supermarket, I seen a big, nice, pretty container coconut thing for your skin, well packaged, and how much money? I said, well, what kind of thing is this?
And now they've taken over the market. We mm-hmm. who are climatically predisposed to grow coconuts, we don't grow as much coconut as probably the U.S., because they've seen a market for it. And so I think they've done it. A lot of things, and I tell people that all of the time, we have the solutions to our own problems.
Right. I was about to ask you that, Amjit, because time, I tell you, we didn't have enough time. Time is really creeping up on us. But I was about to ask you that next as we move closer to wrapping up. What can we do as a people? Because that is our reality. But in essence, a lot of us are not really understanding where, like you said, bridging the gap, it's taking us a longer time to understand how it is, because we're going to need to band together to push back on that force if we need to make sense, because they will not let us just rise up and do this just like that. So mm-hmm. how do we do it as a people? How do we by efforts like yours, what else can we as a people do to strengthen that bond between our movement forward?
I definitely think partnerships is something that we have to consider partnerships. Mm-hmm. We tend to be, as Caribbean people, pretty solo people. Mm-hmm. So you'll see somebody start one thing and then 10 other people start something similar. Mm-hmm. Successful groups have understood that it's better to have 10% of $10 billion than to have 10% of nothing.
Right.
And so for me, partnerships are things that I've tried to just cultivate, because we have the solutions to our own problems. So for example, I remember reaching out to quite a few St. Lucian digital artists mm-hmm. when I was trying to get certain things off the ground. And it didn't materialize. The type of money they're asking for, it's just crazy. They don't understand. We also don't understand community. Like, it's like we do nothing for free nowadays. I remember growing up, my father and them would be part of Road Track and part of the community and just getting stuff going for the sake of the community. We've completely lost our sense of community mm-hmm. as a region. Every hobby, true. Every single thing that we have, we find a way to monetize it. Mm-hmm. Eventually we'll get to that point, but I think we haven't gotten to that point in our development right. where we can monetize mm-hmm. Every single thing. And I think if I had taken that approach, I probably would have been much wealthier mm-hmm. if I tried to monetize everything. But as a social entrepreneur, I'm doing a lot of open stuff, mm-hmm. Stuff where I'm just keeping it open. But I think, like, if we can partner, because we have the talent, we have the ability, I think if we can partner with one another, that would be excellent. I think, too, creating our own platforms. I used to be so upset when I was at UWE and I couldn't order something because of my geographic location. And we're in the throes of actually launching an Amazon/iTunes for digital products, for African and Caribbean digital products, Wakote. I just spoke to my developer this morning. He told me that it would be ready in the first week of December. So we're getting ready to launch that, where we would create, where we've created a platform for African and Caribbean digital creators to be able to put their products on and to be able to sell. So I'm really looking forward to that. Creating our own platforms is important. Weaving our own narratives is important. I put today that affluence is killing so many people in our regions, or the appearance of affluence, because we've let foreigners come and tell us that the way we live is poor. Or the way we live is not the right way. And just to close off, not to take too much of your time.
That's fine.
In 2016, I was talking to some people who are at the UN doing some research on family and how we can attain the sustainable development goals quicker. And what they found is that the communal style of living where, you know, I don't know if you grew up like that, but my grandmother had a house on a piece of land, and like two of my aunts have houses on that same
piece of land. Yes, that's my background as well.
Yeah, so when we come from school, all of our cousins, everybody is there. Childcare is really a communal thing.
Yeah.
So as we became more affluent as a society, we adopted the Western way of things where we wanted to become more individualistic. And so people started to move away from that communal style of living and moving into single family homes.
Yes.
When these people did the research, they found that our communal style of living, which we had, was more conducive to attaining the sustainable development goals than this new wave of housing. As we, as African and Caribbean people, who do not value what we have, because Indians, it doesn't matter how rich you are.
Oh, yes.
They have kept that system going.
The Chinese does it too.
Yes. It's an Eastern pattern of living that we, based on our history of migration, we had. But we let foreign influences tell us, oh, this is not the way to do it. Yeah. And now they're going back to the very same thing that we were doing. And they're finding, oh, this is a better way of doing things. So I definitely want to encourage people.
They're now leading it. And we are at the bottom end with our tongue stretched out for the crumb. Yeah.
So we have the solutions to our problems. There's no need to, you know, try to copy the Western way. The Western way is not always the best way. I'm not saying there's nothing good coming from the West, but I definitely question everything coming from the West.
I'm there with you. I'm right along there with you.
Line and sinker, because we have our own solutions.
Absolutely. Chedi, we're about to wrap up, but before we do that, listen, man, you've got quite a lot going on in there, and the causes that you have, and your views on everything. You've thought it through. Do you believe, because to make that sort of changes and to make that kind of effect, that kind of change, how do you plan to do that? I mean, other than your platform, because that's just one means, but to really get the people that we need to be the movers and shakers to get on board and realize, like you said, what's the word you use? Integration and moving together and stuff like that.
Cooperation.
Right. How do we take it to the level where we can get these bodies, these personnel, these heads, these gatekeepers to understand it? How do you see yourself fitting? I want to know, because you need a lot of help to do that.
So the policy level is definitely something that can really fast track this.
Do you see yourself? That's what I'm trying to ask. Do you see yourself heading into the policy levels to be able to
defend
your street?
Yes, I do intend to, because there's only so much I can do on that end. Even if you have money, which I don't have yet, so it's quite an expensive endeavor. Even if you have money, there's only so much you can do on that end. Government leaders would have to create certain policies. So, for example, maybe incentives to trade between Africa and the Caribbean, or lesser customs duties. Listen, I brought in some of the products and customs almost chopped my arm off. Like, I just can't do it. So there are policy arrangements or policy designs that can come from governmental, from the governmental level, that can facilitate this. And I don't think it's as difficult as government leaders across Africa and across the Caribbean are trying to make it. It's not as complex. Mm-hmm. We just have to make the decision to do it.
To do it. I agree. I totally agree. I always say that.
But for now, I'm doing my part on the business end, creating platforms, and just doing as much as I can, exposing people to the possibilities that exist when these two regions come together.
Yes.
And I'm seeing it catching on. You know, when I was going, my father was like, Kalia, quick, you know. But now he's actually introducing me to people who say, oh, I have land in Ghana, I have this. So I think he's seeing that it's more of a tangible thing, like actually being on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to actually encourage him to come take a look, because I think he would do well on the real estate market. Yeah, so I'm doing my part, spreading the word. I speak very well of my experience in Ghana, because it has been a fabulous experience.
Oh, God.
It has been a fabulous experience. I speak very well of my experience in Ghana. I try to get Africans to speak well of Africa, because they'll say, oh, God, if something happens on the phone, they'll say, oh, this is Africa. This is Africa.
Yes.
I'm like, yo, listen, this is everywhere. Everywhere has
exactly.
So I try to do my part in my little ways, in telling the good stories on the continent and showing the wonderful things that are happening on the continent. Some of the most brilliant people I've come across are on the continent. They're doing absolutely amazing things to champion development across the continent. So there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we don't have the time for me to just get into it.
I know, we need, when you, next time you come home, we need to sit. I keep having to say that to a lot of my guests recently. Like, we're going to have to sit down for a whole day. You just join us in studio and let we go. This is such an interesting thing. Look, I went over my time and I'm going to have to apologize after, but I'm not apologizing because I went over, because I really needed, we needed this morning, and I'm sure the sponsors wouldn't mind. So we'll give them the extra minutes afterwards. But Chedi, you're such a bright, refreshing breath of fresh air, man. I like you. I like where your head is at. And I think you were definitely divinely created to champion this kind of cause. So we look forward to some more great things from you. I'm seeing it. I'm here and the vision is just before me, and I'm just seeing, and your whole approach, the humility with it, the naturalness, the way that you can break it down to the normal and natural man. I think you're definitely onto something great, and you know what? Let's continue to see where this goes. You're going to be a blessing on this thing, man. I think it's a great start, and I think kudos to you for championing the cause.
Midasi Mori. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. You want to leave anything you want to say? We can find your books on Amazon. We can find your products in Saint Lucia.
You can find my books on Amazon. You can check out the magazine at wakote.com, wakonte.com.
Right.
You can check out the EduTech platform. And since we're talking about the Caribbean, cxcnotes.online. So if you have a Form 5 student, Form 6 student, definitely they should check it out. The content is very well tailored and beautiful to look at. And we'll also be doing audio and video in local palace, in local languages,
both
West African and Caribbean languages, because we want to give students a comprehensive learning experience, high quality learning experience. So you can connect with me on pretty much every social media network that is within my age range, because I don't do TikTok.
I can't bother with the TikTok thing there. No.
Yeah. But you can get me at Chadia Mathre, my name, Chadia Mathrin, on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram. And I'm happy to always chat. Feel free to just get straight to the point in my inbox. I don't do the small talk and the nice.
I know, right? Why is she so much like me, man? I'm feeling her energy, man. I like that. Get to it, man. Get to it.
Yeah.
So, let's do it.
Marion, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. You bless my soul this morning, girl. You bless my heart. You bless in Lucia. There's so many trending comments over. I think that's one of the most we've had, you know. So many people are on there trending. Yeah. The comments are up there, man. They're really impressed, and they love you, and they want to send their best wishes to you as well. We appreciate you, darling.
Thank you.
You take care now.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
The honor was ours. Thank you on behalf of RCI, darling. Wonderful. So there she is. Wow. I love her. Oh my God, I could talk to her for the entire day. She is so very well read, very well spoken. She knows what she's about. Now, there you go. That was a beautiful one this morning, Tammy.